Yes, very much so. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It's the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem, according to John chapter 7, verse 2. This is one of the 11 major feasts in ancient Israel, which is remembered and remembers God's action in the history of Israel. You remember others included the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that is, the Feast of the Trumpets, the Feast of Purim, Hanukkah, and I could go on and on about the specific feast. But in our scripture today, according to chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, verse 37, it's the last day of the seven-day Feast of Tabernacles. And the Bible says that the Feast of Tabernacles began on the 15th day of Tishri, literally from the book of Leviticus, which corresponds to our literally September, October. And I believe in order to fully understand this second of the I Am passages from the Gospel of John, you've got to understand the history of what's going on. God had inaugurated this feast to help the Israelites remember that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they were brought into the promised land. There were two distinctives about this celebration that made it different from all the other feasts. For 7 days, the entire nation camped in booths or tents made of branches and leaves to remind them of their hardships that their ancestors had endured in the wilderness. And on the opening night of the Feast of Tabernacles, four large candelabras were lit in the temple, in the court of women, just beside the treasury. You remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about the giving and the lady who brought her two mites, her two of the least expensive coins, but she gave all that she had. She brought them to the temple treasury and put them in these trumpet-like funnels. That's where Jesus is right now. Another name for this event, it's called the Illumination of the Temple. And studies of early rabbinical literature record and tell us that the lights from these two candelabras could be seen throughout the city of Jerusalem. And the festival was to remind the Israelites of the glory of God dwelling among them. The celebration focused on the promise of God to send His Messiah to His people. So Jesus is now standing outside the court of women. He's standing at the temple treasury, according to John chapter 8, verse 20. And now these lights have dimmed on this last day to the point that they are no more. But at the very feet of those candelabras is where Jesus stands when He says, "I am the light of the world." Literally. The second of the I Am statements from the Gospel of John out of the seven. And remember last week when we talked about I Am, what it was a reference to? I want you to understand and I want you to know this. The Greek language is very explicit right here. Because if you take the Greek language of the New Testament and then you go back to the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint, and you compare the Greek words as Moses stood at the burning bush and he said to God the Father, "Who are you? What is your personal name?" And once again, last week we said that. What was the personal name for God translated into English? Two words. You remember? I am. It is the Hebrew word for the personal name of God, Yahweh. In Hebrew, it's read from right to left. There are no vowels in Hebrew. When you look at the Hebrew Bible and you see all those little squiggly-looking things under the letters, those are actually what we call vowel pointing. But when you get to the consonants YHWH, there are no vowel points. Modern Hebrew Bible or any pre-Hebrew scripture will not list the vowel pointing because the name of God is holy. Modern day Jew today will not pronounce the four consonants that's referred to, a big word, the tetragrammaton. Because it is the holy name of God. And as I told you last week, and as I refer to it this morning, I don't use the name and the term Yahweh unless it's in the context of where I am right now or in a teaching context. Why? Because it's holy. Not that the name Jesus is not holy. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the personal name of God that God gave to Moses. And Moses thought to the point, look, I'm so much on holy ground. What did Moses do? You remember? What did he do, folks? He took off his shoes because he knew he was on holy ground. When you go back into the Septuagint and you look at that word, I am, in the Greek language, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it uses two words for I. Now, if I want to use a word for I in English, I'm going to say I am here. I don't need to tell you, I am here, I'm here. But the Greek people do it a little different. That really came from Hebrew. The Greek people use a word called ego. Don't forget that. It's not the egg. That's the way you remember it. E-G-O. It's translated I. And then they use another word for I called I-me. That is not I-me. It is a word E-I-M-I. So we call it ego I me, literally I. Well, what's the need to say I twice? There is no need to say I twice other than the fact that the Lord Jesus is saying, I am. See? I am standing here. Okay? But if I said it like the word literally writes it, I am standing here. And so when Jesus stood at the base of those candelabras there in the court of women by the temple treasury, and he looked out to the people, he said, I am. A direct reference back to the personal name of God. He said, I am. And what is the characteristic, the second characteristic of I am in this message? It literally says, I am the light, the Bible says. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. Three characteristics of the light. Three things that Jesus says about himself as being the light. And here they are. The first one is I want to talk to you about the characteristics of the word light. The characteristics of the word light. Now that Greek word light is a little word called photos. It means a directed beam. It means a focused point of which light, something that penetrates darkness without question. The word photos, some of you Trekkie fans of years ago, the photon torpedo, remember that? It's a light torpedo. Bethy and I were having a physics discussion on the way to church. Some of you talk about the Sunday school lesson. It just happened. Bethy was home, and we talked about physics, didn't we, sweetheart? And she was helping me understand the difference between a laser and a flashlight. It's both light, but one is the frequency of the light, be it extremely focused or extremely spread apart where you can see it. But either way, it is photos, made up of guess what, ladies and gentlemen? And Bethy, make sure your dad's right. Photons. Did I do good? Got your physics lesson for this morning. What did you learn at church today? Well, our pastor taught us physics. But ladies and gentlemen, that is important to understand the characteristics of light because light bulbs got to have a light source. That car you got out there, you either have to press a button or turn a key to be able to get it in there. Light is something that travels at 186,000 miles a second. My wife says I talk that fast. What are those characteristics? Jesus is light by nature. He's what he said. That's his being. He blows away the darkness with his light. His light is pure. It is holy. It is perfect light when he says it. The photos that we're talking about. This light of Jesus and those characteristics, that light reveals who Jesus is, the Son of God, and he points us to the Father. That light guides you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're walking in the middle of darkness and you find just the least little bit of light, that light always penetrates the darkness. While on maneuvers one time, a battleship looked out and he noted a light in the dark, foggy night ahead of him. And after noting that light's coordinates, the captain assumed it was a ship, another vessel, and he was on a collision course with that vessel. And the captain instructed the ship's communications man to say to him, "We are on a collision course. I advise you, the other light, to change course 20 degrees. Immediately the response came from that light source, and it said, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain of the ship radioed back and said to him, "I am a seaman second class. You change your course." Or excuse me, "I am a captain. You change your course 20 degrees. And the response came back, "I am a seaman second class. You change your course 20 degrees. Well, by this time, the captain is infuriated because he's getting closer and closer to this light source. And he finally says it one more time, "I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. And the reply came, "I am a lighthouse. You make the call." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the light. He directs us to himself. And in being that light, he says to you and me, make the call, ladies and gentlemen. Make the call with Jesus Christ. Back in the mid-70s, Connie and I were in seminary in Louisville, Kentucky at Southern. We had some dear friends of ours, Norman and Joan McAdams, and one afternoon, Sunday afternoon, they said, "Are you all free? Let's go down to Mammoth Cave National Park." We went down to Mammoth Cave National Park in Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, and went in their caves on, once again, that three-hour tour. But this one you walked through at a trail had lights on it, my kind of spelunking. Got down there, they were careful to tell us we were now 800 feet below the surface of the earth. They could have left that part out. There were about 100 of us in the group, and all of a sudden, the guide says, "Let me show you total darkness." They flip the switch. Now, Connie was standing right here. Norman McAdams, big old man, I came just right about here to him, was standing next to me, and his wife, Norman, was on the other side and their kids. And ladies and gentlemen, they turned the lights out in that cave. I didn't. And they told us, "Don't touch anybody. Just stand still." And when they turned the light out in that cave, you know how sometimes you can sense somebody's next to you, just kind of sense the warmth, you know, they're kind of in your space. Let me tell you, when they turned those lights out, I couldn't even see the silhouette of anybody. I mean, you're talking about total darkness. Total darkness. Now, we were in this massive room where you could put about three of these sanctuaries in it. And you could say hello, and it would echo, echo, echo all over the place. And the guy took his little bitty pin flashlight and flipped it on. And I'll never forget what I saw. All 100 people, most of that room, and Connie and Norman and Joan and their kids and all, light penetrates the darkness. Do you understand that? One more time. The light Jesus is talking about always penetrates the darkness. Period. That's the light I'm talking about. That's the characteristics of this light. And he is the source of this light. But there's a second thing I want to tell you. There is the truth in following the light. There is the truth in following. Okay, Jesus says, "I am the light." But he says something else. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, how many of you believe the Word of God is exactly what it says? The Word of God, the authority for today. That's about 100% of us. The Bible says, he who follows me shall not possibly, it says that not. And once again, the Greek people love it, and grammar teachers today hate it. It's that thing, not never. It's that double negative that my English teacher, Miss Cobb, and Mr. Livingston remembers whom I'm talking about in Osborne Junior High School. The double negative, you never say not never. The Greeks use it all the time. Because once again, it was a way to emphasize. He says, he who follows me shall not ever, never, forever, forever, whatever, be in darkness. Wow. I don't have to live in darkness. Folks, I don't live in darkness. I live in Jesus. The Bible says, because when he changes you, what does he make out of you? He makes you a new place, a new creature, a new person. He recreates who you are from the inside out. But it says a little word that means to follow in the Greek language. Okay. We all played follow the leader. Remember that? Everybody, has anybody here ever not played Simon Says? All right. Simon says it, you do it. Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it. Simple as that. So you followed the person. You followed the leader. That's kind of what this word means. But it has a whole stronger connotation. Because you see, if I'm going to follow someone according to the way this language is put right here, and the Bible says, I'm going to do exactly what he does. I'm not simply going to mimic him. I'm going to do it exactly how he does. If he walks this way and he puts his foot right there, my foot's going in there. My dear old dad, bless his heart, we'd get down to Panama City or Daytona Beach, and he'd walk on the beach. We with mother and dad and all of us. My brother and I had a blast. My little feet weren't even bigger than that. My dad's were bigger. And I would love running as a small child. Guess what I'd do? You remember those days? You'd put your foot in your footprint of your dad. And I'd just keep going like this. That's following. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me. And you know what was interesting about putting my foot in that little path and that little, you know, before the waves got a hold of it, is it took some work. I couldn't just run and catch him. I had to, because I was short, always have been, then. And my little legs wouldn't spread as far as my dad's, you know. So, man, my little legs would have to do this. You know, and this is what I was doing along the beach. But I looked crazy doing it. But I wanted to be very careful that my foot went exactly in the footprint that my dad had made. That's what the Bible's saying. And ladies and gentlemen, when you follow Christ like that, that is intentional. That is something you are doing not by you are purposefully following it. We have a big word we use to describe that now, and it's called discipleship. You see, I could have been walking along with my dad all the time, but I wanted to do something more. I wanted to be in his path. That's what the Bible is saying. There is truth in following the light, because what happens when you follow the light, the Bible says literally that you will never, ever walk in darkness, period. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall never, no, never walk in darkness. I remember as a small child, we lived on South Cobb Drive. My bedroom was in the front of the house growing up. And my nanny, my grandmother, my mother's mother lived with us. But oftentimes I would go to bed much earlier, obviously, than they would. And I remember sometimes being in my little bed and nobody in the room, and I would become frightened. Well, in the Sunbeam years here at Olive Springs, I was taught a little song that went something like this. It said, what time I am afraid, quick to myself I'll say, there is no need of fear, I know a better way. I'll pray to God this prayer, and very safe I'll be. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. And I remember laying there in that little bed, and Dad would catch me sometimes singing that song. You see, there is truth in following the light, because you see, in following that light, as we grow, there are going to be times in our life where fear wants to entrap us and Satan wants to keep us from following him. And the Bible says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of a sound mind and power. And you make sure the victory is not the fear, not the darkness, not the blackness, but it is the light. And the Bible says, if you follow me, you will never, no, never walk in the darkness. Wow. That's shouting ground for the child of God, let me tell you. But then there's a third one I want to tell you about today. It's a third point. As we talk about the characteristics of who Jesus is and who Jesus was, we talk about the gift of what? Life through the light. Look at the last part of that verse. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not, no ever, never walk in darkness. But what is the promise of God? Everybody say that last part of that scripture with me. Say it. But have the what? Light of life. Now last week we talked about that word life. And that word life was a little word called Zoe. We transliterate it. We put it in English so we can hear it and read it and speak it. Z-O-E. But it's pronounced Zoe. And it means physical life. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that's the word that's used there. Without question. And what is it? The Bible says you're not going to walk in darkness, but guess what you're going to have? You are going to have the light of life, of life-giving power within you. So as a child of God, in this world of darkness, in this world of recession, of bad, hurtful, economic times, the Bible says you don't have to walk around defeated. You can walk around because you have the light in you. But even more than the light, the Bible says, I've come to bring you life and give it to you how much? What's the Bible say? More abundantly, to the overflowing, to the overflowing. Do you see what Jesus is saying about himself just in this one verse? Such power to understand what light is all about. A group of people were hiking in the mountains out west, and one of them saw a stone. Matter of fact, it was a small stone, about the size of a half dollar, but with smooth, rounded edges, and ordinarily someone would have passed it by, knocked this rock. Let me tell you what. This caught one of the person's eyes, and they went and picked it up, and in the sunlight, that thing was absolutely gorgeous. The colors of that light were absolutely amazing. And the explorer of the mountain climber said he picked it up and put it in his pocket. And all the way home, he thought when he got home, where can he display this beautiful rock where people would be able to enjoy it? So he placed it in a curio cabinet next to some other objects that he had in there, and he forgot about it for a while. And then one day while dusting his house, he was surprised to see that the stone had completely lost its luster over the months. It sat on the shelf with all of those objects that were on that shelf, and it was just ugly. There was no shine anymore. And the man was shocked. What had happened to this prized rock that he had so carefully brought back with him that shone with such a brilliance? Where was the sparkle? What had happened to the sparkle? And disgusted, the man just snatched it up and he started for the trash can to the backyard and throw it away. And then as he opened the kitchen door, a beam of light struck that stone. And as that beam of sunlight struck that stone, it lit up with color, with vibrancy, with brilliancy. And he said, why did it return? And then he realized it was the light. It was the light. Folks, let me tell you. Have we been sitting on the shelf with our lights so long that it's lost its sparkle? It's lost the brilliance of that moment when we first came to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the only way to change that is to understand the book and to understand the words of Jesus when he says, I am the light of life. Let that sunbeam, let that light beam shine back through there one more time like never before. And watch the luster of that light. Watch what happens without question. Bring that light out as never before. Jesus is the powerhouse. Jesus Christ is the way that life happens. We walk around victorious, not because of us, but because of the light. And that light, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you what I believe to be in Scripture the greatest compliment ever given to you and me. You see, we have talked about this morning, I am the light of life, and he was. He is the light of the world, the Bible says. And then Jesus was standing in Matthew to the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 with me. And just watch it on the screen this morning. Make sure you mark it in your Bible, and I appreciate you bringing your Bible and turning that, and we're studying the Word together. Verse 14 says, look, you are the light of the world. He's talking to his disciples and all others that have gathered. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp put under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. And look at this, that they can see your good works and glorify you. Is that what it says? No. It is through your good works they glorify the Father. We have a task when we walk out these doors in just a few minutes. I have a task. It's easy to shine our lights in this place. But how about out there, folks? In the midst of a recession, in the midst of such difficult times, in the midst of such unsafe times, in the midst of everything happening all around you, no matter what do you and I do? We trust the Word of God, and we hear Jesus. I am the light, Jesus said, but you're that light now. You're that light. Every head bowed, and I want you to close your eyes. This morning, I have preached what I believe in my heart is God's message for the hour. Because he's told us that he is the light of the world, and then he's given us in Matthew the greatest compliment we can ever know, that we are the light of the world. And so this morning, I want you and us, all of us together, this family, to make this commitment in our heart. And here's what I want to do. We're not going to use piano or sound other than microphone or organ or anything. But you remember you were children and you sang that little song, This Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Remember that one? We're just going to be in silence for a minute. And then I'm going to begin singing that. And one by one, all over this house, when you're ready to say to God by your standing, or if physically it's hard for you to stand, you just hold up your little finger, your index finger, and you just start singing that little chorus with us all over the house. Because that's a commitment I want us to make. You know, we can preach this sermon till all of us are blue in the face, but ladies and gentlemen, until all of us in this house, everybody, me too, we go out of here and like never before, let our light so shine that people will see our good works and glorify the Father. Until we do that, we've missed the boat. So this second I am statement, if we take it to heart, then I want you to find a way this week, an intentional way, that you can be the light to someone else. And I don't know what that is. It may be picking up the phone sometime this week and calling someone you haven't talked to and just sharing with them and tell them about what God's doing in your life and God's doing at your church. It may be a coworker. You just need to go maybe put your arm around them and pray with them or talk to them or encourage them. It may be your husband, your wife, your grandchildren, your children. Do something intentionally this week where you let your light shine. You tell them about Jesus. That's the commitment I'm wanting us to make this morning. And in just a minute, when you sing and you hold up your little light, either by sitting right where you are or standing, whatever is more comfortable for you, all over this house in just a minute, when you stand, whatever gesture you do, you're saying to God, okay, I'm going to let my light shine, Lord, like never before. And folks, if you're in this house and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and all of this sounds crazy and foolish to you, don't be dismayed. The Bible said it'd sound like that. The Bible says, literally, for those who are being saved, it's the power of God, but those who don't know Jesus, this stuff can sound really foolish sometimes. I don't have all the answers, but I got the answer. And I know as a 9-year-old boy, when I realized I was a sinner and the only way I could be saved and turn from that sin is if Jesus Christ came into my life because he died for me and shed his blood for Randy Cheek. Once that hit me and I understood it, my life has never been the same. But it's intentional, just like discipleship. Intentional is asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. You must do that. Will you give Matthew and me the joy of introducing you to Jesus? If so, as we sing, I want you to get up out of your seat and come down here and share with us. Maybe you need to come and join Olive Springs Baptist Church. Don't wait, folks. Come on. And as we sing in just a minute with, again, no instruments, just singing this little light of mine, I want you to come. And maybe this morning in your prayer time, it's a time of recommitment, saying to me and Matthew, folks, my brothers, I haven't been letting my light shine, but I tell you what you've done today through the power of the Holy Spirit has touched my heart, and I'm going out of here and do the best I can to let my light shine. But let me warn you, folks, you make that kind of commitment, you watch who's going to be waiting for you at the front door. The devil's going to be right there on your doorstep. And he's going to do everything he can to put a bushel, a basket, a fire hose, and everything else under your light. And I challenge you, just hunker down, folks, because greater is he who's in you, the Lord Jesus, than the enemy, Satan, who's in this world. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can let our light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Sing that verse again. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it. Remember those motions? Do that, okay? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Hold it up, that's right. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I like this one. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Remember that? Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let
let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Isaiah said the people have walked in darkness for so long, but now we've been given the light of life. That light is Jesus. And now, Jesus is in heaven, the right hand of his Father. And you and I, we're the light. Just let it shine. Amen. Been good to be in the house of